like, okay, not constant. I don't call my friends and I'm like, hey, how was, did you get down last night? Like, what? It's not like.
And that's our R rating.
Life as a mom, entrepreneur, wife, friend, and human is a lot. Join me, Katie Jacobs.
And me, Brandy Chandler, every Thursday as we have unfiltered, hilarious, and relatable conversations about the ups, the downs, and the chaos of it all.
Pour a glass and pull up a seat.
Because you're always welcome at our table.
Hi.
Hi.
Brandy.
Are you ready?
Do you want to do sex with me?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Welcome to She Did What?
She did some talking about sex.
She did sex.
So do you talk to your friends about sex?
We have to disclaimer this.
We do.
Don't just jump in. Don't just dive in.
We probably need
Brandy.
The disclaimer on multiple of our episodes.
I mean, I hope someone's not listening to this with their toddler in the car, you know?
Maybe the titles will help.
Hopefully. This is not an episode for small children. No,
it's going to be PG.
It's going to be R. It's going to be R-rated. But we just think you should not have little kids listening to this episode.
Yeah. So, or maybe your preteens.
I thought you were going to say maybe your preacher.
Probably not
your preacher. Probably not your preacher either.
It depends on how tight y'all are.
True. Okay. So we did our disclosure.
Yes.
Now we can dive in. I'm so excited about this episode. And do you know, my friends are very excited about this episode.
Well, do you talk to your friends about sex?
Of course.
I mean, we talk about it, but it's not like constant. Like, how much are you talking to your friends about sex?
I mean, like, okay, not constant. I don't call my friends and I'm like, hey, how was, did you get down last night? Like, what? It's not like.
And that's our R rating.
Like, that's not the conversation.
Like, it just pops up very spontaneous.
Well, like, it's generally after a few cocktails at a girl's dinner.
Okay, okay. I was just making sure I wasn't missing out on another thing.
Oh, no. I don't think there's, like, this very gratuitous sex talk happening, but I definitely.
It comes up.
I will say, though, you know, I married a baseball player, and I did not want to date him because I knew how all of his friends talked.
Oh.
Right. So I was, like, really hesitant. But JJ, my husband, he's like, women, you guys talk about sex way more than men. Like, men.
They like joke talk.
Yeah, but they don't like, they're not diving deep like we are.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see that.
So do you talk? I know you do.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it comes up, especially like on a girls' weekends.
Something. Totally.
You just get on it somehow.
Yeah. I don't think like my friends and I call each other. You just get on it. But I don't think we call each other with the.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those things that kind
of pops up.
It pops up.
Pops up. All right.
So many fun puns in this episode.
We would never, we're just in that silly state of mind.
I know.
On a normal day, those would not happen. So I was going to start this conversation by asking you, how's your sex life and how often are you having sex? But we did a little research.
We did
some studying up to make sure we were talking about things in an educated manner.
Sure.
And we weren't out of our league trying to talk about this.
We are always out of our league.
But we feel comfortable. It helped us be more comfortable.
Yes.
Starting this conversation with a broader public. And everything I kind of read and researched truly said that comparison in this area of your life, we think it in a lot of areas, but in this specifically, is the thief of joy and is not going to do you any good in finding your own pleasure and focusing on your own pleasure, which is what a healthy sex life, I think, is about.
Healthy sex. I love this quote. Who cares how often you're having sex? The question is if you like the sex you're having.
Yes.
And I think frequency is a topic that's really tough for women or everybody, couples, partnerships, whatever it may be.
The comparison.
Because the comparison, oh, these people are having it all the time or these people aren't ever having it. And it's like everybody's sex life is individual. And what really, when we were doing our homework for this, because we feel a responsibility to women to do right by them.
Yeah.
And
to help them be their best and live their best life.
Well, we always want to empower women.
Yeah.
It is never our job to pull women down.
No.
So really the answer is there's no answer. Sex is about two people coming together to have a pleasurable experience.
For everyone.
For everyone. For every party involved, yes. However many parties that might be. I don't kink shame. So, you know, it's that's the most important key to all of this. So I think that's a great place to jump off.
And I have a story that's a perfect example of why we don't compare. A friend of a friend, the woman had breast cancer and mastectomy and restructuring. So she had a physically hard time. We can understand why she might not want to be having a lot of sex
right.
at this point in her life. I mean, it was just like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And her husband would jokingly, funnily, always talk about how little sex they were having, to the point where some of the friends were like, are you having it like once a year or less? Like they thought it was
how dry
really,
is the drought?
Really dry.
Right.
And then one day somebody finally asked him and he was like, well, we only do it a couple of times a week. We're like
this man.
We're not worried about you anymore, buddy.
This man. Someone put him in jail. Lock him
up. So that is why we don't compare, because your standards and someone else's standards.
Well, everyone
are just
likes
not
their steak cooked a little different.
Yes.
You know, my medium rare might be your, you know, medium.
So just let it go.
You just gotta focus on you. I think focusing on pleasure and focusing on how to attain that. One of the other things when we were researching that I found to be very interesting was specifically from one sex expert. So pleasure and frequency doesn't matter. So I think women in general talk about sex.
Mm-hmm.
How has sex changed from 20 to 40?
Mm.
I mean, I'm making the assumption you were having it at 20, even though you and I have talked about this and I know everything about you. But we've both been married for 16.
Well,
you've been
yeah.
married for 18 years.
So we'll just talk about marriage sex from early, because I got married in my early 20s.
I did too.
18 years. So
how old were you when you got married?
23.
Okay, I was 24.
I think so. Yeah.
Have you seen a 23-year-old? You were a child.
You gotta be more specific.
Lately.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. And I thought I had it all together.
We did. We knew everything.
Like, I could have got married 2 or 3 years before then, in my mind. Like,
right.
I was ready.
Right. Okay. All right. So
we made it work somehow.
Figuring it out. All right. So from being 20 to being 40, how has sex changed or evolved is probably a better word to use.
I mean, obviously there's less because we also have 3 children we added to the
right.
mix that live in the house with us.
Right.
They don't have their own apartment or anything. So
they're in the guest house.
So you're not having a spontaneous kitchen rendezvous
right.
in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh my God.
We're now bedroom only. I mean, it's just facts of life, you know?
I know.
But I feel like we've been lucky. We've kind of been satisfied and content.
Yeah.
Even through ups and downs and dry spells and not so dry spells. It's just kind of worked itself out.
It's interesting. So I think I know couples who I think like sex is kind of, it's just always worked. And then I know couples that are like, I think like their friendship and their marriage, like the glue that bonds, I guess I could say, like is sometimes a little bit different too. Like mm-hmm. sometimes I feel that way very much about like my relationship. I've always been very sexually attracted to my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like very, very. And that even when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated. I could pack my bags and walk out the door today.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated.
You're like, but can we do it before I leave?
You know, it's like, so that's never, it's always been a good glue for us, but I don't think that's true for everybody. I think that there are partnerships that are very much like, or marriages, partnerships, whatever it may be, because I don't want to just speak to marriage, that are very much about friendship or are built on other mutual understanding.
And I think that sometimes you might get into a dry place and you're mad at each other, and some people just don't recover from that sexually.
Oh, Well, yeah. Know?
Like, I mean, I could see that having very easily happened in our relationship, you know? Yeah. Sometimes you're just so mad and it's been so long and you're just,
yeah, you know,
it's hard to come back together. So, yeah, there are definitely, like, everything we talk about.
Sure.
There are ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows.
And ups and downs. And I think sometimes there are things people just don't recover from.
I also will say, though, I do think dry spells are normal. I remember, and really around having children for me,
yes,
I felt very in my body, like this protective lioness. If you come near me, I will bite your head off.
And you also, like, don't know what is going on with your body. No. Especially with that first one. Like,
well, and to talk about,
why do I look like this? Feel like, why is my stomach so squishy? Like, it doesn't feel like you.
Right. Well, and then also, I remember my husband, God love him, I think he was just like, what the hell is going on here? Because he was like, oh yeah, like one of my buddies, his wife when she was pregnant just was like ravenous for sex.
This is
why we don't compare. And I was like, well, I'm not her.
Yeah.
I just felt protective of my body. It was like,
Well, that's doing a lot of work.
It was doing a lot of work. So I think that's also part of it. And my husband was so, so patient. I think in all three of my pregnancies, that was the only thing he ever said to me. I know it was the first one. And I know he was just like super confused about how our life was so changed.
He's like, I don't know what's going on.
I was like, what's happening? So yeah. And I think like one of the things that I don't think my husband would mind me saying this, we talk about is like when we were in our 20s, we had tons of sex, but it wasn't necessarily the best all the time.
You're still figuring things out.
You're figuring out where the buttons are. And,
I mean,
you know,
we've got it down to a good science. I will give you that.
Yeah. I mean, I think after 20 years, you start to figure out.
But I feel like some people might not, you know?
That's true.
Because taste change.
Oh, tastes change.
You know?
What if your tastes change?
And your partner
suddenly
still.
your tastes diverge sexually.
I don't know. Just work through it. We're blowing our own minds.
I'm blowing my own mind. One of the things that one of the sex therapists we listened to said, and I loved this advice, was not advice. It was, I don't know if it was rooted in any fact, but in her experience working with couples that talk about their sex life a lot have really good sex, have very pleasurable sex. Mm-hmm. Let's define good as very pleasurable, mutually
enjoyable
sex. And I think probably in our 20s, we weren't as, like, we didn't want to disrupt the flow and the spontaneity and the excitement of things. So I was actually thinking about this morning. I know I was more hesitant to speak my needs
out
because I didn't want to hurt the flow of things. And I was enjoying it and having fun, but sometimes it was like, a little to the left or like, you know,
put your arm here.
Right. Because you don't want to like be, there's nothing sexy about like being a drill sergeant in the bedroom. Or maybe there is. Again, I don't get you. But maybe that's a very specific thing. Maybe you love having a drill sergeant. But I think giving direction in the middle of a passionate moment can be, but I do think it also, I have found that it leads to better, more pleasurable sex.
Well, and often you forget, or it's even more awkward to do it outside of the sexual experience. So as awkward as it could be to speak up.
Like you're making a chicken tetrazzini and you're like,
hey, last night, could you do it in the moment?
I would say,
as awkward as that can be too, I think it's better served.
So it's also like, I think the way you say things, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you
say
can.
Say it good.
You can say it good, you know?
Move your arm.
Oh,
here.
Put it left. Or coming from like, that feels really good when you're doing, oh my God, that feels so good. Do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
My goodness.
You give me instructions like that posing too.
That looks so good.
Like, that looks great.
Do more of that.
It works though.
In other parts of your life.
It does. It does. Valuable advice.
So when, one of the things that I really want to talk about, and I think women in our 40s, I think any woman could be really served by this advice, but in your 40s, women aren't, and I don't remember, this is not something I came up with. I don't think I did. I mean, maybe give me credit if you feel like it. But if you find the source, I didn't say it first. That women, the power of foreplay is really important. And women are not Honda Accords, we're Ferraris. Mm-hmm. And we need to be treated as such. And I really find that in my marriage, we are the most hypersexual. I feel, I mean, my husband's like obvious. I mean, not obviously.
He's that typical.
And I don't want to make that, I don't want to make that generalization.
Yeah.
There's one in the middle of a tornado. I could be like, hey, honey, you want to go bang it out? And he'd be like, let's go.
Let's
He'd like
do
be
it.
Dropping the sandbags to run to the, you know, run
the
to the
house
bedroom.
Doesn't matter. We have each other.
We have each other. We'll survive any tornado. Drop the sandbags, any flooding. So, but from my perspective, really, and I think you said it best this morning, you said foreplay is what happens between sexual experiences.
Like everything between the sexual experiences. And I heard that somewhere. And I was like, oh, that's true. And I'd never really thought about that until I heard it phrased like that. And I think that's a very valid point in both actual foreplay and I don't know what you call the honey-do list kind of foreplay.
Well, so I'm just thinking about the times that my sex life has been like so good and our sex life has been so good because I'm happily married. And it has been when I think, A, we're aligned, when we're—
Yeah, just everything.
When everything's clicking, when we're on the same page, like, right, just in general. And then also when I feel like, I think the hottest thing my husband could say is like, babe, just pour yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a tea or a wine
or
whatever.
I'll get the kids ready.
I got this. And it's just like, oh.
You come home, they're vacuuming.
Oh, that's so hot.
It really is. Just anything where they take it off. But I agree that
anytime that unseen love is being taken off of you.
Well, and sometimes
it's very
even
sexy.
Like when we've gone through a really difficult time in our lives, just like a lot of stress, but we were on the same page and we were working towards a common goal. That has been its own turn on and foreplay, just that connection.
The connection
between us working through all these things.
It really is the heart to heart connection.
And you don't think about that as foreplay, but I think it's very powerful.
I think it's very powerful. And I think that when you're connected that closely, the connection in
translates.
The bedroom or wherever, it translates.
Yeah.
And it transcends, and you feel all the more excited. I also think, you know, we both have three kids and we love our children, and our children take the priority of the day, right? So, you know, making that time for each other to go on a date night, you know, to go out of town with each other, to, because I think also when I feel more relaxed, that's a big part of it too.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the component of checking off the honey-do list, or you're taking things off of me, you're taking the stress and the strain off of me that can bog things down where you don't feel very light, you know, emotionally, physically, or sexually.
Yes. Well, and I thought I might have wrote it down, but I don't have it, I don't think, here.
What was it?
There was something I was listening to that was talking about just, you know, all these things like the honey-do list as foreplay and like all these things not foreplay that are foreplay for a lot of women. And the difficulty in turning off your brain from your day-to-day lists and stress and just all the things you need to do and transitioning into sexy time.
Sure.
It's so hard.
It's very hard.
And that's where a lot of that lifting the load helps lighten, you know, our brains or mine specifically, I know, and then helps me transition into another, you know, part
another
of the day.
Another part of the day, right.
Yeah.
The after
hours. So that's
hours.
A huge, it's not like, I've often thought, I'm just, why can't my brain, like, why can't I shut it off? But it's, I don't feel like that's a, everybody just, or somebody has that one problem. I feel like it's a universal thing.
I think that's completely universal. I mean, who could be like, you know, one moment curing cancer and the next like tearing their clothes off? Like that's, it's a hard transition.
Yeah, but we don't talk about that a lot.
No, we don't. We don't talk about the transition from the day to, or the transition from the mental load, the anxiety that it causes. And listen, like we've talked about this in other episodes, but the feeling like we never stop.
Yes.
We just never shut down. And so then suddenly you're asking your body, oh, just relax and become, because I do wonder, and this is something since we've started talking about this podcast, I've wondered is that a part of it, being able to physically relax as well, yes. mentally and physically kind of like melt into the act of yeah. sex and that is part of things. Like for me, I know it is. I don't know if it's like that for every woman. I mean, yeah. maybe some women are like, I need sex as a
release. To relax.
To yeah. relax. Yeah. So that could be something I as well. So. That'd be something yeah. I would Everyone's love to hear. Our listeners' perspective on that too. Like, no, I've got to like bang it out to feel...
To feel relaxed.
To feel relaxed.
It's my tool.
It's my, yes. I mean, that might be the case. And yeah. I'm sure it is the case because everybody's people. Different. And yeah. everybody has a different, you know, flavor of this.
Yeah.
But I know that for me, feeling like, you know, if I come home on a Friday and I've had a week or whatever, and my husband's like taking care of things and he's usually home earlier than me. And like, you know, he's like, here's a glass of wine. Just go chill. Like mm-hmm. go sit in the courtyard and like just chill.
Yeah.
You know, that take care of things.
Well, and I know a lot of people talk about this or have heard of it and just being touched out. And most people refer to that with younger kids, but I have a teenager and a preteen and I'm still touched out. Just there's so much mom. Mm-hmm. I need a minute where I'm not mom. Like I need,
you need
a minute
to be Brandy.
To headspace into I'm just my own person. Yeah. I only have to worry about myself right now.
Sure.
And then I can go back to worrying about somebody sure. else. Like I need to be kind of rid of all my other people for a few minutes.
I found from being touched out because I have three kids that have like a 8-year age gap. I found that I like when because I am touched out, but touch is actually I realized my love language strangely.
Oh.
So like, but I like when I love being touched by my husband, but mm-hmm. I like a firmer touch. I don't like these little like you know like your kids walk by and they just like yeah. brush your arm or
they're
your
just
leg,
like laying
these little
on
like
you.
And it's just like so when my husband I'm like I want like a good hug or
like an
I want
intentional.
Like yeah like I want yes an intentional yeah. touch feels very good to me.
Yeah.
So it's also tapping into that. And yeah. And I told him that. I was like, I like when you
well, and it's a touch me it's like still this. Touching, but it's a very intentionally different yeah. type of touching.
Yeah. You know, it really fucking irks me.
What? I didn't know where this was going when he got started. Tell me, Katie.
And my husband stopped doing this. But like, all the, like grab my ass when you walk by. I just, oh, yeah. oh it just makes me so mad.
We've
I don't know
really
why.
Done that.
Just
I mean,
like
I do it a little bit, but not.
I mean, like sometimes, but like
the slaps.
Like it's just like
lot.
Okay, I've had enough. Like every
like,
now
that's
and
not
then,
doing it
when
for
you
me.
Can tell, like the sexy banter's going on.
Yeah, if it's appropriate,
and you can tell the day is going to lead into a night.
Then maybe a little.
Then like a little, yeah. But like
but the
just
random,
all the time. Yeah. Randomness of it. Yeah. Like it
good for
really,
you telling him though.
I did.
And
I
for
like,
him listening.
I was like, this really irks me. And he was like when I'm in, like get ready, I'm trying to get the kids out the door.
Yeah, like in the
not
middle.
Not the time for an ass
bank.
It's not the time to grab a handful. Like I want to punch you in the face. It makes me so mad.
But that's great. I mean, communication.
Yeah, communication. And he doesn't do it anymore.
That's a great
unless
example.
It's like the sexy banter.
Yeah.
When it's like welcome.
Unless you're in the mood.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Pop on the butt with that spoon. Want to amplify your business with our audience? We'd love to have you sponsor an episode of She Did What. We speak the truth about the beautiful craziness of life and have followers ranging from teenagers to bad mommies and beyond. Our following is growing rapidly and we'd love to have you along for our journey. Contact us through our website, shedidwhatpodcast.com, to discuss sponsorship details and pricing. Let's talk about practices to ensure you're keeping your sex life alive.
I could use some tips here. I don't have any practices.
Thanks, Brandy.
I know.
Welcome to the podcast.
Give us a call in and tell me. Well, because we talked about this. A lot of people schedule like Friday nights.
Scheduled sex.
If you tell me I have to do something, I just don't want to do it. Even if I really wanted to do it before, it just takes all the fun out of it for me. And that's in my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, tell me I have to do something.
Can you see the benefit of scheduling it, though, for other people?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I not can for see you. Other people.
Like, just knowing that yeah. the act is coming yeah. and that, like, you can kind of, like, start to, like, reorganize your brain for it.
Mm-hmm.
that it might be happening. I'm not a sex scheduler. That's not how we've ever done things. I don't think I would like that because my life is very scheduled. I live and die by a calendar. So I think when it comes to sex and being Katie and you being Brandy or whatever that might be, it's like for me to feel like Katie, I have to feel like it's like the fun, exciting part of my life mm-hmm. that isn't for my kids.
Yeah.
And it's not for anybody else. It's for us, the two of us. Mm-hmm. It's for us to go have time together where we get to connect.
So how do you do that with having three kids in the house with you all the time?
I feel like we really try to make an effort, A, to get out of town together. Because I think when we get away,
then you don't even have to think about it.
Right. I mean, that's like, that's newer for us.
Because it's back to 20s.
It's newer for, it's your 20. When mm-hmm. we're on a vacation together, we're 20. But that's not, we can't do that all the time. And we honestly
only
started.
You're not doing that every weekend?
No, and we only just started doing, but making time for each other, even if it's a date night at home. Like I remember when, after we had Mac, like even my husband, just like on Friday or Saturday nights, he would, or Sundays, I don't know, whatever night of the weekend, he would like make steaks mm-hmm. and like we would have a dinner together and like sometimes even feed the kids early and then mm-hmm. like send them off to bed or, you know, whatever, go watch a movie in our room and we're going to have a little like adult time where we're not getting interrupted every 5 seconds. But I think making that effort and time for each other.
Well, and getting your kids, for lack of better words, kind of out of your way.
Right.
Leading up to it. Sometimes the just schedules don't leave a lot of time for you to have some dinner with your husband
right.
before you enter the bedroom.
Rarely.
You know?
Right.
And so I think that's a good tip.
I have a friend who the 100 second. Or the 100 count.
I was like, if 100? It's well, seconds counting, it's probably the same.
Here's the deal. I'm hesitant to talk about this.
We can cut it out.
All right. So
let's see how it goes.
All right. Well, let's see how it goes. Let's try this on for size. I have a friend who told me that sometimes, like when she's like, I'm like in the mood, but I'm just like, I can relate to this. Like you're in the mood, but you're like, oh, I just like don't want anything in.
I am so tired at the end of the day. Like, it's so tired. All I can do to keep my eyes open.
I know.
By the time my children go to bed.
Also, I'm going to use her as example. Because she's anonymous, she saw the need for fulfilling her husband's need uh-huh. as something important for the relationship.
Yes.
And I think that's true.
And she wanted to do it. She was just tired.
Of course. So she was like, Katie, I just like give a blowjob count to 100. You never make it to 100.
But she knows in her mind, this is all I have to do. So it's an attainable.
Yeah. And you know, like, listen, I'm not mad at it.
We're going to have men calling in just thanking you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
They're like, that's the best advice.
But like, here's the thing that I think women don't talk about. And it's the fact that sex can be really maybe couples don't talk about. I don't generalize just women, that sex can sometimes in a relationship be more important for one partner yes. than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use the example of postpartum. That was, I really had to make an effort to be like, this is important for my partner and I need to figure out the headspace, the hormones, whatever it mm-hmm. is. And there is that medical issue for some women. They medically, sex doesn't feel good. And, mm-hmm. and one of the sex therapists we listen to know that there are options for you to feel better. And some doctors might not take you seriously, but others will. And to options figure that out.
Like, options are there to try. You don't have to do them forever. You can give it a whirl. See if it works. And if it doesn't, drop it like a bad habit.
Right.
But if it does, you might have a new tool in your box.
Sure.
And literally tool in your box.
But I think the 100 second I loved because it was like the thought of that being a way that I could really, I love like seeing my husband feeling good. Well, like seeing him feel good.
And
makes,
that can
it's pleasure,
lead
right?
to enticement for you too. Well,
but listen, like pleasure doesn't like, I don't have to be orgasming to have pleasure yes. in my sex life.
Yeah.
Sometimes pleasure is seeing him feel very.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, The benefits you may reap.
The to-do list after that 100.
You know, after that quick 100. I mean, and they never make it to 100. Let's face it.
That does seem long.
But
no, I actually, not, you I told mean, me that, and I thought that was a think great about, tool.
But and I'm not trying to sound like, oh, like, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. You don't, yes. Listen, you,
but if you think this could be good for you,
like being engaged in an act, don't do it.
Yes.
But if you think this could be pleasurable for someone, you get pleasure out of seeing their pleasure. Yeah. You have two parties experiencing pleasure together.
Yeah.
Maybe in slightly different ways, but it is like, I was always like, you know.
Well, and sometimes you don't want to go all the way.
You know, literally.
Sometimes you just want a little taste of it.
That was Brandon. They're gonna be calling in for you, girl, not me. They're gonna be calling in for you.
Metaphor.
I mean, maybe it was, qualified.
But a good like. I'd like to have a little fun, but I don't want to go full fun.
Yeah, like I'm not, and I think hop in the shower.
Yeah,
women, we love to multitask.
Get dirty the walls and then get
clean.
The
you know.
Don't mind me.
Don't mind
just
me.
Clean just clean enough.
Hang on. Let me grab the OxyClean before we hop in together.
Hey.
There is, though, like, I think sometimes the shower is a good tool. Like, yes. Loose, if it's big enough. Like,
and sometimes your kids will leave you alone a little more.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was growing up on horse farms. I remember this woman. I won't say her name in case she ends up listening. But this was actually kind of inappropriate to tell a child, but...
It was on a horse farm. What happens so on the much. Horse farm?
She and her husband would look at her kids, and I would wonder if this is would be something you would do. They would look at their kids and say, we are going to have time together in our bedroom. Figure it out. Do not knock, and do not make noise.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think anything's wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
maybe
it's
maybe I'll try it this weekend.
Will you report back?
I will. My 4-year-old will not understand any of those words.
No.
She'll be like banging on the
door. No, no.
Can I have some M&Ms?
I need a Go-Gurt. All right. So that's a great segue. How do you keep spontaneity alive?
We have no tools. We just roll with the punches.
You just roll with the punches?
Yeah.
I think sometimes a little.
And there are definitely like. Everything. I mean, there are definitely times where we're more into
sure,
it and
sure.
It happens a lot sure. easier. And then sometimes, you know, one person's kind of nudging it along.
Sure. Yeah.
So just roll with it. We've I try not to be too kind of.
Regimented.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good word. Like I was going to say schedule, but that wasn't the right word. So try to keep an open mind. Doesn't always work.
What do you, I'm going to ask you kind of a loaded question. I know. I'm going to go, I'm going
you know
off.
My phrasing
I'm throwing down
on this topic.
The cards. And I'm,
well.
Well, I wonder about how you feel about the promiscuity factor of younger women. Like, how would you feel about that for your daughter in terms of like the sexual revolution, the history of like kind of the sexual revolution and how do you think it's a positive impact, a negative impact for women? Do you think it's had both? Like how do you, as a parent, I've found myself feeling maybe a little differently than I did as a young person. You know what I mean?
Well, you're always more conservative.
When you become a parent,
yeah.
You think?
Well, because you're just still protecting and... all of that. I don't know.
I kind of sprung that one on you.
Yeah. And I definitely see to both sides.
Sure.
Like, I'm happy that this topic is more discussed now because nobody was talking about sex when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, you just don't do it. And that's the end of the story. Like, that's all the discussion we have about sex.
Right.
So I'm glad to know that. Like, I hope... they will have more women will have more education about their bodies, know more options, know that they should have pleasure in it, like that this is an act for pleasure.
I think that's
being
my fear.
Act that is just should have shame and be banned.
Right.
But I also don't want them going crazy.
Well, I think I worry sometimes about the celebration of like random sex as opposed to the celebration of pleasurable sex.
Like pleasurable, I think I would like to emphasize this, and we haven't gotten to talking about like having sex. You know, we've had the sex talk, but not
with your daughter.
Yes,
your
but oldest we daughter. Have not like, you know.
Sure, sure.
We're not in relationships or anything like that. But I would definitely, you know, I want her to know that it should be pleasurable.
Sure.
But I also would like to emphasize the connection part of it.
Yes.
Like, and, you know, I just don't know.
I think
I don't have all the answers here, but I definitely think there's some value to, like, the way we revolutionized.
There's so much value to it. But I also think—
But you
got to
be a little careful.
It's almost—yes. I worry— I think I worry as a woman who now has the benefit of looking in the rearview mirror at the way that I sort of viewed sex as a younger woman. I think I wish I had been more self—
Yes. I feel like
worried about connection, worried. I think in terms of the sexual revolution, when we were experiencing sex, like experimenting, and I'm going to say like before my husband, it was, I think, experimenting that wasn't pleasurable or pleasure focused.
Yes. And I feel like, especially because we were in the same generation, so we're kind of, you know, operating in the same kind of culture in that. I feel like most girls when we were younger were doing it more to make their boyfriend or whatever boy or whoever happy.
Yes.
You know, and that was a lot of the main goal. So I'm happy for the revolution where women are going to know this is for you as well. But I don't want them to be so selfish that they're not ever having the good connection part of the mental and emotional.
I think that's what keeps you really healthy mentally and emotionally is the connection piece of the puzzle. So I just wondered kind of what your what your opinion was on that, especially as a mother of a girl who's coming of age.
Like everything, you're just figuring this out as you go along, trying your best.
Gosh, aren't we just always throwing it against the wall to see if it sticks?
But it's something that's a good thought to be putting into my mind. I probably need to give that more thought.
I don't know.
With my current stage of life.
You know, honestly, it was brought to light. I had a conversation with someone in their early 20s, and I was like, ooh, you are not doing this act for you at all.
Yeah.
You are not part of this equation. Mm-hmm. And it made me really think about young women and the way that they're experiencing sex, you know?
And a lot of it has to do with your self-confidence and— You know, your own body image.
This person is a very confident person, and it kind of shocked me. And it made me really think, like, wow. And, you know, as a mom to boys, they're going to hate me when we have to talk about this. But I think it's important that they understand, you know, that this is not just an act about them.
Well, and it's a two-person decision or more.
Well, that was something that the sex therapist that we both listened to said. She said, you know, men, a lot of men growing up, the worth of sex is about like putting your penis in a place, in a hole. That's what she said. Those are her words, I think. I'm going to totally misquote her. Did you not listen? You heard that?
I don't know. I listened to her.
Brandy. Up to this. But you know what? That's part of it too. Like listening to
boys and girls
lot.
Come from different places.
They do. Yeah. They do.
And I think it's important, as awkward as it is, for moms and dads to both have talks with boys and girls.
Like
girls need to talk to their dads a little, moms need to talk to the sons a little.
Sure.
So that way we are kind of exposing them to all sides of the situation.
Absolutely. So that they have a fuller understanding of what they're getting into.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think something else, because it made you saying you're listening to a lot of sex podcasts. And when sometimes I think this is something that's helped me in kind of coming out of the postpartum too, is like read sexy books.
Yeah.
Read some sexy books. Listen to some sexy audiobooks, you know?
Yeah.
It'll kind of get your juices flowing a little.
You know, there's a whole category of women that are just reading. They call it the smut and they love it.
Good.
They like it.
It's good foreplay.
They're like at the ball games with their Kindle. If you ever see someone that's a strict Kindle reader, you need to know she's reading some really good stuff on that Kindle.
You're like, you put on your you know, your bifocals.
She will not have a book cover in front of her. But I love it. It's innocent. It's fun. It's not hurting anyone.
It's fun. And it's not hurting anyone. That's the other part. You're not hurting anyone. Yeah. It's giving you pleasure. It's not hurting anyone. And it gets you in the
mood. Gives you some ideas.
You might find a whole wealth of information.
Not bad about it. Not bad. But it is another way, I think, when you're not in the headspace, don't surround yourself with things that aren't in the headspace. Yes. Surround yourself with things that are in that headspace.
That's one of the hardest challenges, is the headspace component.
Yeah.
When you're with someone for a while, sure, you know, you're grown up. It's not the 20-year-old sex anymore.
I cannot wait to get the feedback on this episode and to have more conversations about this. Because this feels like a jumping off point for a lot more conversation
and that's
about
what,
the way we experience sex.
Yeah, we just wanted to open the floor
to
this conversation to let people know it's okay to talk about it with each other, with your friends, with your spouses, with your children, to kind of take a little taboo off of it. And I feel like it's not a taboo topic for people to talk about in passing and like about other people. Like, sex comes up a lot, but to say, this is what I'm experiencing, or I need something different.
Absolutely.
That still has a stigma to it.
Well, I told you when we started brainstorming all of our podcast ideas, this is important.
Yeah.
And we have to do it in the first four.
Yeah.
Because I think, and I don't know, I haven't lived in another part of the country at this age, but in the Southeast, I think you can talk about a lot of things, but I think women are a little more hesitant to talk about their own experiences because the frequency, because the shame of, oh, well, if we're not having it enough or whatever. And, you know, I think that we could help each other in ways to get over any of our fears or insecurities, or if we're not having pleasure, how to find pleasure, or, you know, if we can come to each other with a positive perspective and help lift each other up, it can be really nice. And also, like, if you are medically if medically you're not, like, dive into that. Find some answers.
Seek some help. And if you don't like the first doctor, go to another doctor.
Yeah, go to another, and then go to another, and then go to another until you find somebody that will help you, because I think it's just so important. Mm-hmm. It's an important part of being a human.
Have some fun.
Have some fun.
Get that pleasure out there.
Get that pleasure. Yeah. I love it. That's a great place to end.
I
get
that pleasure. I love it.
Okay, so give us your feedback. We want to hear everything. Mm-hmm. We will keep you anonymous.
If you want us to dive into another part of this conversation, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll research it.
Poorly.
I know. We'll listen to all the stuff.
Thank you for listening.
I know.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and can't wait to share another episode with you next Thursday.
Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. To keep up with the latest, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Podcast She Did What. We'll be sharing updates, behind the scenes, and announcements you won't want to miss.
And if there's anything you'd like to share with us, whether it be a personal story or feedback on our episodes, you can leave us a voicemail at 762-499-2201 or head over to our website, shedidwhatpodcast.com. Also, feel free to leave us a review down below. We'd love to know what you think.
She Did What is hosted by us, Brandy Chandler and Katie Jacobs, and produced by Studio D Podcast Production.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next Thursday. And remember, it isn't always easy, but it sure as hell can be entertaining.